Turn to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. Those of you who are staying, also please go to Facebook and check in. Let the world know that you are worshiping our Lord and Savior this morning at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. Don't be ashamed. Scripture said, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed. Don't you be ashamed of being at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. Amen. Everybody awake? I hope so, because if you're not awake after that song and the worship we just had and the message you're about to hear, I'm going to wake you up. Don't be sleeping this morning. Don't be sleeping. Now, last week we listened as Jesus proclaimed to those who belonged to the church of Laodicea. Jesus first rebuked those in the church for their being lukewarm in their spiritual walk with him. We got anybody there like this in church here this morning like that? Now, Jesus rebukes being lukewarm. Then Jesus told them to repent, and he said, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear and open the door, he will come in and have dinner with him and he with me. What this means is that Jesus is more than willing to accept any man who will open the door. Now we learn that God has not stopped pursuing man, and that our prayers for the lost are heard when we ask God to pursue our loved ones who are lost or in rebellion towards God. We learn that Jesus is indeed standing at the door knocking, and any and all who will listen to his knock may enter if and only if they'll open the door. The invitation is ever present, but the invitation must be received. Now, today, as we continue in our series of issues that God wants us to know, I want you to know, church, that God wants each and every one of you to know that he knows exactly where you are. He knows where you are. Now, as I sit and I sat in my study this morning going over my notes, I came to realize that this message is coming right after the cardboard messages last week. And I didn't intend that. It just dawned on me. But listen, last week was a great testimony that God knows where we are. He knows where every single one of us are. Now, let me go ahead and say, he knows where you were last night, too. He knows what you were doing last night. He knows what you just thought. Hey, listen, he knows what you just thought about the preacher when you just thought what you just thought. And it's not, hey, listen, don't blame the preacher. I'm just preaching. If you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at God or get mad at yourselves. And I didn't expect an amen there, and I didn't call for one. Now let's look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Got a bunch of reading to do today, bud. Daniel chapter 6. Verse 1. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. Darius, who was king, decided to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, stationed throughout the realm, and over three administrators, including Daniel. These satraps would be accountable to them, so that the king would not be defrauded. Daniel distinguished himself above the administrators and the satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit. Now, I'm putting my finger there, and I want y'all to look up here for a second. Daniel, at this point in time, was not a young man. He was an older man. He was really probably an elderly man at this time. So, the king planned to set him over the whole realm. The administrators and satraps, therefore, kept trying to find a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom. But they could find no charge or corruption, for he was trustworthy, and no negligence or corruption was found in him. Then these men said, "We will never find any charge against this Daniel unless we find something against him concerning the law of his God." And they were right. So the administrators and the satraps went together to the king and said to him, "May King Darius live forever." All of the administrators of the kingdom, their prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an edict that for 30 days, anyone who can't say it, petitions any god or man except you, the king, will be thrown into the lion's den. Therefore, your majesty, establish the edict and sign the document so that as the law of the Medes and Persians, it is irrevocable and cannot be changed. So King Darius signed the document. When Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went into his house. The windows in the upper room opened towards Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed and gave thanks to God, just as he had done before. Daniel wasn't bending, was he? Was Daniel afraid? Did he pray one time a day? Did it say he was hiding? He went in his closet. Nope, it says he did like he had always done before. Verse 11 says this. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel petitioning and imploring his God. So they approached the king and asked about the edict. Didn't you sign an edict after 30 days any man who petitions any god or man except you, the king, will be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, as the law of the Medes and Persians, the order stands and is irrevocable. Then they replied to the king, Daniel, one of the Judean exiles, has ignored you, the king, and the edict you signed, for he prays three times a day. As soon as the king heard this, he was very displeased. He set in his mind on rescuing Daniel and made every effort until sundown to deliver him. Then these men went to the king and said to him, you as king know this is law of the Medes and the Persians, and no edict or ordinance the king establishes can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him in the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing in regard of Daniel could be changed. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no diversions were brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he reached the den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, the king said, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke with the king. May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. They haven't hurt me, for I was found innocent before him. Also, I have not committed a crime against you, my king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den uninjured, for he trusted in God. The king then gave the command that those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the lion's den. They and their children and their wives, they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all of their bones. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we're asking forgiveness of our sin. Lord, we pray that you would hush us. Lord, that you would still our hearts. That you would help us to understand this message in a way that helps us to be greater servants for you. God, we lay at your feet and we understand. We know the days that we live in. We know where we are. But God, we need to understand and to know that you know exactly where we are as well. So this morning, God, embolden us. Let your spirit move in a mighty way the way it already has through the music. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Now, I know that some of you, if not a large majority of you, listen, you sometimes think to yourself, God, you cannot know where I am. You cannot know what's going on in my life. And listen, sometimes people, listen, I want you to listen to me. Listen, is everybody listening? As we cry out, sometimes, God, you can't know where I am. You just don't care about me. Sometimes the situation that you're in, God didn't have nothing to do with it. You did it yourselves. Every single circumstance that you go through in your life, don't blame God. Don't point the finger at God. Don't say, God, see, you know, here I am again. I'm down in this hole, and I don't even have a shovel, and you're not helping me dig out. God looks down at you and says, I had nothing to do with that hole. You walked into that hole. You walked away from you and you're in that hole. It's all on you. Now, I'll help you if you ask for me, but don't blame me. On this day that we just read about church, God knew where Daniel was. God knew exactly where Daniel was. Church, God knew where Daniel was, but before this day, God also knew where Daniel was. God never lost sight of where he was and what he was doing. And there's a very specific reason why God never lost sight of Daniel and Daniel never lost sight of God. Listen, chapter 1 of Daniel tells us that Nebuchadnezzar, then the king, the first king that Daniel served under, King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, laid siege to Judah. Many of the Jewish people were killed. They died. Homes were destroyed and the temple was ransacked of all its treasures. On that day, God saw where Daniel was as a young boy, and he saved him from death. Let's just turn back to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Look at verse 3. The king ordered Asphenius, the chief of his court's officials, to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from nobility, young men without any physical defect, good-looking. See, I probably would have been chosen, Bob. Right? Suitable for instruction and all wisdom, knowledge, perceptive, and capable of serving in the king's palace, and to teach them the Chaldean language and literature. Daniel was chosen. It was evident from a very young age that God had a plan for Daniel. As long as he was obedient to God, God would keep him safe. Now, I want to insert here this morning. I want to go ahead and get way ahead of myself, and I'll probably say this again, Brother Frank, here in a few minutes. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. And listen to me, I promise you that you're going to do one of two things when you get to my age. You're either going to praise God for the plans that He has for you because they've been fulfilled, and you raise your hand and you worship God, or you're going to shake your fist to the heavens and say, God, I just can't believe that you've allowed me to find myself in the place that I'm in. And God says, listen, I never intended you to be where you are. You chose that path. You are where you are because you chose to be where you are. Don't blame me. God has a plan for you. Now, if you don't meet the expectations of God's plans, it's not because of God. It's because of you. You've gotten ahead of God. You've done things you shouldn't do. You've gone places you shouldn't go, and you've done things you shouldn't have done. And listen, that leads to rebellion against God. And when you rebel against God, listen, God is such a gentleman, He's going to let you go. Doesn't mean He doesn't love you. But He's going to let you go as far as you want to go. Church, listen, God knew where Daniel was when the king assigned food, right there in chapter 1 again. When the king assigned food, he brought the youth in, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and his administrator came in and says, look, you know, the king has told us that you're to eat this food. And they looked at that food, and they were like, you know, I don't want to eat that food. Any of y'all ever watch the Andrew Zimmerman on TV? Y'all ever seen that? I'll never forget. Listen, they were in the Middle East, and everybody was sitting down, and the food was brought in, Bob, right before. And the side dishes, man, some of the side dishes, they looked pretty good. And Brother Frank, they brought in the main course. Camel hump. Ryan, you ever had that happen? No, never camel hump. Never. Y'all, listen, I'm not eating camel hump. I've been to some places, and I've gotten my hand slapped a couple times when I was in Africa. An extraordinary meal was served for us, and my stomach was already upset, and I ate fruit, and one of the people came by, and they said, listen, this is extravagant. You need to eat this. And I said, listen, these people, I know they love us. And I want to respect them. And this is how I'm going to respect them. I'm not going to eat that. Well, that by you not eating that, that's not respecting them. Listen, by me not eating that, that is giving them total respect. Because if I eat that, I am going to throw it up in their presence. And I couldn't eat it. Now, what the king was serving wasn't necessarily like camel hump, but it was against their Levitical laws, their Jewish dietary laws. And Daniel pleaded. He says, listen, don't do that. I understand if we die or we look malnourished, you're in trouble. But bring us this. Bring us our food, and I promise you, after a period of time, we'll show you. Just bring it. So they did. And after the period of time, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were healthier than the others. Why is that? God was watching out for him. God was watching out for him. Church, listen. God knew exactly where Daniel was with his diet. Listen, God knew where Daniel was when King Nebuchadnezzar had his first terrible dream. You know, the dream of the statue, the head, the shoulders, the belly, the legs, the feet. He had that terrible dream. And Daniel was an administrator at the time. And Nebuchadnezzar called all his wise people in. Now, Daniel was off somewhere. He said, look, I want you to interpret my dream. King, may you live forever. You know, tell us your dream first. He said, no, this isn't how we're going to play this game. We're going to play this game the way the king wants to play this game. You interpret the dream, and then, you know, we'll talk. Well, king, that's never been done before. King Nebuchadnezzar says, kill them all. Daniel has a death sentence on his head. The administrators go looking for Daniel, and all these wise people are going to be killed. Daniel hears this. He says, listen, go tell the king to let me pray about it. Just let me pray. So he and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fast and pray, and he goes into the king's presence, and he explains to the king exactly what his dream is. Church, God was with him. God was with him then. Church, God knew where Daniel was when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace for not bowing down to worship the golden statue that Daniel had seen earlier. Nebuchadnezzar had built himself. Scholars don't know where Daniel was or why he wasn't present, but there is no doubt, had he been in the kingdom at the time of the decree, that he would not have bowed down, and he too would have been thrown into the fiery furnace with his friends. God protected him. Miss Dale, God knew exactly where Daniel was. Church, God knew where Daniel was when King Nebuchadnezzar had his second terrible dream and called for its interpretation. God protected Daniel even when he told the king that the king was the object of the dream and he would face a stiff punishment if he would not acknowledge that his God was the God of heaven and earth. Can you imagine looking at a king, and telling him, listen, king, I'm sorry to tell you this, but the dream that you had is about you. And if you don't acknowledge God, you are going to become like a beast. You're going to eat of the field. You're going to drink of the dew of the grass. You're going to walk around like a wild animal for a period of time if you don't acknowledge my God. Can you imagine saying that to a king? Daniel did. How can you have the boldness to do that? Because you understand and you know that God is with you and you're with God and you're walking with God. And listen, even in your obedience, it doesn't matter what happens, what comes your way, God is always going to take care of you. Church, God knew where Daniel was when the drunken king Belshazzar summoned him to come and to read the mysterious hand that had written on the banquet wall. Daniel, as an old man, came into the presence of the king and told him of what God had done to his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, and that he had to acknowledge that God was the God of heaven and earth. Then Daniel turned to Belshazzar and he said this. Turn to chapter 5. I want to read this. Look, turn to chapter 5. Verse 22. he looked at Belshazzar, and he says, but you, his successor, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all of this. Instead, you exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven. The vessels from his house were brought to you, and you and your nobles, wives, and concubines drank wine from them. You praised the gods from the silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or understand. But you have not glorified the God who holds your life breath in his hand, who controls the whole course of your life. Therefore, he sent the hand, and this writing was inscribed. This is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, mene, tekel, parasim. This is what the interpretation of the message is, Belshazzar. Mene means that God has numbered the days of your kingdom and has brought it to an end. Tekel means that you have been weighed in the balance and found defiant. Peres means that your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar gave an order. And they clothed Daniel in purple and placed a gold chain around his neck and issued a proclamation concerning him that he should be given the third of the ruler of the kingdom. That night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom at the age of 62. Why is that? Why in the world did this happen? When he brought Daniel in at an old age, Miss Donna, he looked at Daniel and he says, I understand that you can prophesy. You see dreams. And Daniel said, yeah. He said, if you interpret this dream, I'll give you a third of my kingdom. I'll put a robe around your neck, a gold chain around. I'll give you all of this. And Daniel looked at him because Daniel knew. He says, look, I don't want that. I don't want any of that. Because Daniel knew before, when he got the last breath out of his mouth, Belshazzar was going to be gone. Darius was coming in. They were on the outskirts of town. They were getting ready to overtake Belshazzar and his kingdom. He knew it. Well, Brother Kyle, why did it have to happen to Belshazzar? Listen to me. The same reasons why a lot of things happen to the kids who were raised in church. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was given a chance. Did y'all see that? As a matter of fact, if you go through, and we just finished studying the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar was given like three chances before God says, okay, that's enough. You're going to wander this earth on your belly. You're going to eat wild grass. You're going to drink from the dew of the grass. I'm sick of it. But afterwards, Nebuchadnezzar, he praised Daniel's God, and he acknowledged that God's God was the God of heaven and earth. But did you notice, Mr. White, that he just killed Belshazzar? How many warnings did Belshazzar get? How many warnings did Belshazzar get? None. Why did Belshazzar not get any warnings? Well, all he was doing was having a party. Listen, all he was doing was drinking with his friends. He was having a party with all the concubines, and listen, it was just an innocent thing. I mean, we were really saluting the Lord by drinking from his vessels, right? Isn't that what you're thinking? Why is it that Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather, got three warnings and Belshazzar, the grandson, got no warnings? Because Belshazzar knew better. He knew better. And listen, that's why things happen to kids who grow up in the church under the loving parents' hand. Listen, a lot of times I get parents say, why in the world did God allow that to happen? God didn't allow it to happen. They knew better and they chose to rebel against God. It's not God's fault. Listen to me. And this applies to your preacher just as much as anybody else. Do not drag God's name through the mud. Because when and if you listen to me. I'm getting excited. When you drag God's name through the mud, when you've known, don't expect God to protect you and have mercy and grace. Listen, he'll always give mercy and grace on you. But listen, if you know better, There's places that God ought not go. There's places that God, things God ought not do. And if God is your God and He is the Holy Spirit is in your heart, there's places you ought not go. There's things you ought not do. There's things that you ought not open your eyes to. Why? Because the Holy God is living inside of you. He's not going to have His name trampled through the mud. On this night, Belshazzar knew better. And he was taking God and just trampling Him through the mud. And to add injury to insult, bring those vessels that my granddaddy took when he sacked Judah. We're gonna drink from them. I wonder if he knew Proverbs 20, verse 1. Proverbs 20, let's turn to Proverbs 20, verse 1. Turn to Proverbs. I wonder if Belshazzar knew this. Wine is a mocker, beer is a brawler, and whoever staggers because of them is not wise. I like the King James Version better. You know what the King James Version says? Those who partake of them are what? Not wise. Fools. Foolish. He knew better. But he chose to drag God's name through the mud. But he knew where Daniel was, and he protected him. Can you imagine standing in front of a king giving him a death sentence? I mean, he wasn't just saying, listen, you're gonna be walking for a certain period of time, and you're going to become... He's saying, look, you're going to die. You're going to die. But God was with him. Now we come to the scripture that we just read first this morning, church. Daniel is now an old man, and yet King Darius had appointed him as a satrap because of his wisdom and his knowledge. Where did this wisdom and knowledge come from? God? Did it come from his rebellion against God or his obedience to God? Now, let me tell you what God did with this old man, Daniel. Of course, we know that he was thrown in the lion's den. And he sat there, he slept there all night long. I believe that he probably laid down on the back of a lion and slept like a baby, knowing that God was going to protect him. But he did something else. God did something else that's absolutely amazing. Look at chapter 6, verse 25. Chapter 6, verse 25. After King Darius releases him from jail, listen to what happened. Then King, out of the lion's den, not jail. Then King Darius wrote to those of every people, nation, and language. Now remember, Daniel had just come out of the lion's den. Darius was up walking the floors that night. He was pacing, didn't sleep, didn't eat. There was no diversions whatsoever at all. The next day, King Darius writes a letter to everybody who live in all the earth. He says this, "May your prosperity abound. I issue a decree that in all my royal dominion, people must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel." Did this happen because Daniel did what he wanted, when he wanted, how he wanted, with whoever he wanted, and made God second and third and fourth and sometimes fifth in his life? No. This happened because God was first in his life. But listen, it gets better, Bob. Listen to this. It gets better. Listen to what he says. "For he is the living..." This is King Darius, a pagan king. Listen to what he says. He says, "For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. His dominion has no end. He rescues and delivers. He performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. For he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus of the Persians. How in the world can this be? Church, God knew exactly where Daniel was. Always. You might be asking, how in the world does this apply to us? Brother Kyle, of course God is going to watch over and protect Daniel.
all of his life. He was a prophet of God. Church, Daniel was much more than a prophet. Daniel was an obedient servant who loved God and knew his place. He loved God and he knew his place. Now please understand, before I preach any more to the church, I'm well aware that I'm preaching to the Sunday morning crowd. I do. The Sunday morning crowd. I hope that one day I get to the spiritual level that all I need is Sunday morning. I get enough Jesus on Sunday morning that I don't need Him for the rest of the... Listen, I hope that one day that I get to the place where I only need Jesus two or three times a month. Is that what we do? We sit in church on Sunday morning and we sing our praises unto God, and our batteries are charged up and stored up enough that, listen, I've got enough God in me. I don't need Him anymore for the rest of the week. I hope that I get to that point one day, Miss Desi, because at 46 years old, I'm not there yet. Listen, the closer I get to God, the more I want to get, the more I want to be here. I would love to have services every day of the week here. There's only one problem. I'd be here by myself. God knew where Daniel was because Daniel belonged to Him. Isn't that what you claim? That you belong to God? Don't you tell the world that you belong to God? Where is your determination? Where is your obedience? Like Daniel. Well, I'm not Daniel. Is it because of your choice? Or because God's choice? Does God not have a plan for you? I believe He does, church. Listen, can I tell you something, church? It seems by looking at the life and lifestyle of the average Christian, it seems like that we have either forgotten what I'm about to tell you, you don't believe what I'm about to tell you, or either you just don't care for what I'm about to tell you. Here it is. Here it is. Listen, here it is. God knows where you are today if you belong to Him. God knows where you are. He knows exactly where you are. Hey, God knows where you are today if you don't belong to Him. God knows where all of us are, and He knows exactly what we're all going through right now. He knows what we're all going through. Hey, can I tell you something? From the very beginning of Daniel's life, if anyone deserved to sit down on God, it was Daniel. He had no parents. None. He had no parents. He had no home and was taken to a faraway land. But instead of complaining about what he did not have or constantly living in a state of depression over what he had lost, Daniel chose to live for God. Daniel could have been just like many of us and seen all the terrible things that were happening around him and said, "Why, God, do you mean to harm me so much and so often?" But he chose to look around himself, seeing everything that was happening, and saw what God was doing was not to harm him, but was for the good of Daniel and the kingdom of God. Do you realize, as you look at this story, what God did? He took a group of young boys. Young boys. I can't do anything for God. Yes, you can. He took a group of young boys and he took them out of their nation, took them to their pagan nation, and he brought God to that pagan nation through young boys. And if you follow the progression of Daniel's life, listen, God used Daniel in an unbelievable, mighty way in the middle of his life, two or three times. And at the end of his life, where most of our seniors say, "Look, you know, I've got to slow down. I've got to step back. I've got to, doctors told me I need to slow down." Daniel wasn't slowing down. He was about to die, and he wasn't. King Darius was trying to make him appoint the ruler of the whole kingdom.
Church, can I tell you that God so desires this morning that you know beyond any shadow of doubt that He knows where you are. Yes, you. And you. And you. God knows where you are right now. My question to you is how will people in the future tell your story? We just heard an unbelievable, just short rendition of the life of Daniel. How are people going to tell your story? One of an obedient servant of the Most High God who never wavered in your service to Him, no matter what came your way, you never wavered. No matter what happened, you never wavered. Listen, it doesn't matter what circumstances arose, you never wavered with your love and your obedience to God. Or will your story be that when hard times came, you no longer trusted God? Y'all know which story is more prevalent, right? Most of the time when hard times come, people point their finger at God and say, I want to have nothing to do with you. That's a sad reality. Church, how will you finish out your life on earth? Will you be like King Nebuchadnezzar, King Belshazzar, King Darius, calling out to some wise, godly person because you have no idea what's going on in your life because you're so far away from God? Or will you be like Daniel and choose right now to obey God from now until you take your last breath? Will you choose God? Or will you be like Belshazzar, who was killed because he knew what was right and chose to do wrong? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we are your people. This is your message. This is your invitation. Lord, we know you're here. We felt you. I pray during this time of invitation that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Help us be receptive to the Holy Spirit of God. Draw us to our knees, Lord, that we might come back to obedience to you. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning who's never accepted you as their personal Savior, I pray that they'd have the strength to walk down this aisle and let me show them what the Bible says every person must do to inherit eternal life. With every eye closed and every head bowed, this is your time of invitation. Do you need to come? Will you come?